Okay, I've got a question. What does a wrapped book, a nosy radio host, and the best seat in the restaurant have in common?
Well, somehow, believe it or not, they are all key plot points in 2024's Blind Date Book Club. We've got a lot to talk about, Jennifer.
We do, Josh. We'll unwrap it all on this episode of Do You Watch What I Watch?
If you like holiday movies from the classics and newbies, let's sit down and watch, then have a talk with Jennifer and Josh. Sit down and watch, then have a talk with Jennifer and Josh.
Now, we watched a book club movie with Jane Austen lovers last month, and now we are going to Nantucket, allegedly, when really it was filmed in British Columbia, Canada, for a fresh spin on a book club. But first,
okay, so it's April, but we already have some news about the upcoming holiday movies that we are getting. It looks like these networks are really trying to jump on it. Throw down, the competition is starting. So we have already heard. So we're already starting to see on Great American Family, which if you remember last year during the draft, we couldn't even really do much of their movies because we weren't even having dates for when their stuff was going to premiere. So it was tricky for us to even do their stuff. But maybe they're making some changes because we already have news that Danica McKellar and Oliver Rice are going to be starring in a Royal Christmas Ball. So you can imagine there's going to be a lot of dancing in that one. Well, they already have a choreographer, apparently, from Dancing with the Stars on board to do that one, which is great. Over at Hallmark, we've already heard that Christopher Palaha and Lacey Chabert are going to have a movie that they are shooting, have shot in Iceland, which I think is amazing. We got this great Instagram reel of them sort of tootling through an ice castle, presumably, something like that.
Who cares? Those are two powerhouse actors, so I'll watch it. I don't care.
It's going to be must-see. And speaking of must-see, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. We are going to have to do an episode on this one because we are getting a sequel to the big hit Three Wise Men and a Baby, of course, with the three heavy hitters at Hallmark. You've got Paul. You've got Tyler. And Jennifer, number three.
You got Andrew.
Andrew.
My man, Andrew Walker. I'm a big stan of Andrew Walker till the end.
And if you were with us for the first one, you knew we loved it. I'm just going to go ahead and draft it right now. We're doing an episode on it. It's going to be...
We don't need the bingo balls for that. That's a given.
Don't need the bingo balls. I'm telling you right now, it is going to be, I think, the one that Hallmark really tries to hang the whole season on. Mark my words.
Oh, for sure. Now, they only put out like a brief reel and then a photo of the cast. They were all kind of all embracing. The boy looked to be 6 or 7, didn't he?
Well, I was reading some stuff about this, Jennifer. They are moving this 5 years forward.
Got it. Okay.
So that's what's happening. That's apparently going to be key to the plot of this one. So I think it's going to be interesting. And I like that they're putting some time in between the two. It'll be nice to see how these characters develop, how the plot sort of takes shape. So I'm excited about that one. And I love that it's April, but we're already starting to talk about Countdown to Christmas. And isn't that just...
It warms my heart.
It warms my heart as we face 80-degree days here in Middle Tennessee. Hey, listen, now would be a great time in the off-season, as we like to call it here at the podcast, for you to get on board and to go ahead and follow us on all of our social media channels. Connect with us on our website at doyouwatchwhatiwatch.com. We're going to be doing content all summer long. Jennifer and I today were just texting back and forth about a great plan we think is going to be awesome and includes you. So you will surely want to connect with our social media channels for what I think, Jennifer, is going to be a pretty fun summer.
A merry summer, some may say.
If you will. If you will.
More to come.
More to come. More to come.
Yeah. All right. Let's get started. Here's the plot summary for Blind Date Book Club, not Bad Date Book Club, like I keep saying, and not Book either.
Book.
Blind Date Book Club. Here we go.
It's a bit of a tongue twister.
Yeah. How much wood?
Woodchuck. Woodchuck. Good chuck books. Yes.
So we've got a Nantucket bookshop owner known for matching others, finds connection with a best-selling author who visits her store. Is she known for matching others? Plural, multiple, we'll get to it. Let's go. All right, so this movie, we've got our female lead, Erin Krakow, and our male lead, Robert Buckley of Christmas House fame. Josh, have you seen the Christmas House movies?
I haven't seen the Christmas House movies, no.
Oh, they're so good, and he's a hoot and a half in them, so I was really glad to see him. And a little bit more of a, not serious role, but a little, some dimension to his character. Anywho,
nice.
We open to a peppy song that is reminiscent of some Sixpence None the Richer song. And a woman is wrapping books oh so delicately and writing on the top things like, you might cry, which is also, people might say that about our podcast. You may laugh, you may cry.
Options. We're here for whatever it is emotionally. We love self-awareness.
That's right. Exactly. So we're in Nantucket and our female lead, Meg, delivers her books that are wrapped via bike to Mimi's Book Corner. Turns out that's actually her shop that she took over running after her mother passed away. She places the wrapped books on the table and says, there's a sign that says blind date with a book club, which is cute. Her work bestie is hyping up all the positive changes that she's made to the shop, but she's gotten word that her aunt wants to talk about some things, and she's nervous about the combo because the aunt was kind of a shareholder or partner with her mom on opening the bookstore, but wasn't as involved day to day, it sounds like. Then we get news that the hotshot radio host, Raina, wants to interview Meg, and, oh, turns around, there she is to set up early. Whoops. Catches Meg off guard. In the city, male lead Graham is in a big wig office, and he's trying to sell his book to his publisher. He's a bestseller. He's already done 7 books in a series. It's kind of a young adult sci-fi, maybe?
Twilight? I was getting Twilight vibes.
The Left Behind series. I don't know. It was like a shadow with like some kind of, something. I don't know. His former book, The Great Bixby, was a huge success, among others. And his agent is not a fan of the new, quote-unquote, romance book that Graham is pitching to him. He says it's historical fiction with a romance twist. And they're like, no, this is not your audience. Your audience is not female. And I guess the only people who can appreciate a romance are female. Thanks, dude. So he doesn't want to turn off his previous fan base. And in this book does not have, quote-unquote, shelf ability. They said it like 3 times. Keyword, shelf ability. Graham tosses around the idea, maybe I'm going to self-publish and call myself Dylan Turner. He wants to write a book that matters and will be the next great American novel, like Gone with the Wind. Yeah. Josh, what did you think about our intro to these characters?
I liked how they set it up. Yeah, they both sort of have intersections with books, right? She's obviously kind of this small town book seller. He's sort of a corporate author, right? We get early on that he is sort of pigeonholed in this space, doesn't really feel great about it. So you sort of see the big business side of books and also the small business side of books. And I thought that was kind of a nice touch, you know, the kind of different challenges that they face in the book industry.
Me too. We're back in Nantucket. Meg is being interviewed by the radio host and says that her mom had opened the store. Meg ran it after she passed. Graham's driving and hears the interview on the radio, which is very Sleepless in Seattle, another popular rom-com. They wrap up 2 books each week, and people can buy them, not knowing what is inside, is the deal with the book club. Then, if you're still interested and you want to talk about the book, you can meet the following week at the book club at the shop. And let's say the book included flowers. Well, they might do a floral arrangement, like I have displayed behind me. I just whipped this together based on the... No, somebody gave them to me. But I did think it was applicable. So there's like a theme, and it's like a little event, and they have treats, and it sounds really awesome. Josh, have you ever been a part of a book club?
Just a very sort of informal book club, but certainly nothing as fancy as this, because I like that they were making it an event, right? It wasn't just about talking about, did you like the book? It was one step further. And I thought that that was really sweet. I could absolutely buy that there are small town bookstores that do this very sort of thing. And I liked it as a plot point in this one.
Yeah, I thought it was great. I've had a book club on again, off again with my little gal pals, especially we started during COVID because everybody's kind of spread out now. And so it's easy to get on a Zoom and talk about the book. And usually we talk about the book for about 10 minutes and then gab about other things for the remainder. But it has pushed me out of my comfort zone, and because there's always like our leader will send out, here's some suggestions, and we can vote, and whatever gets the most votes is what we read. And there are some books that I've read that I would have not picked up otherwise. So,
well, there you go. And isn't that the point of a book club? Yeah, and I like this idea of it being a blind thing, right, where they are just getting sort of a little teaser about what this book is about. And I kind of wish more places did this sort of thing, because I would peruse the section and kind of pick up something. Because I think there is something to be said for reading something that is not your normal vein. Like, I'm very much in the James Patterson thriller vein, right? And I think that I'm all for kind of exposing yourself to something a little bit different. So I liked it.
Yeah, I thought it was a cute idea. Meg talks to the radio host about how this pushes boundaries, how it shouldn't matter what shelf a book is on, only the material should matter. Of course, Graham is eating this up, and he's like, I'm going to Nantucket. So they have their meet cute on the ferry pickup area. He's arriving, and she's picking up her aunt, and another family wants, like, I guess they're a French family, and they wanted a photo by the Nantucket sign, so she takes a picture for them. And being kind, they're like, now I'll take a picture with you two. And, of course, they're not together, but there was a language barrier, and to get through the awkward, they just stood next to each other even more awkwardly and had a photo taken. And it was, I thought, a cute meet cute as far as meet cutes go.
I liked it. Yeah. I liked the language barrier. It was cute. I liked their chemistry really from go. I thought the two of them looked good together, and I thought it was fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever been to Nantucket?
Yes. You know, my grandparents lived on Cape Cod, right? So we would go vacation up there. And so I've been to Nantucket. I've been to the Vineyard. It's really, really special. And I'm a bit bummed to hear that they didn't shoot this thing in Nantucket, because it was very reminiscent. I was fooled that it was Nantucket.
I
went to Nantucket. So there you go. Good job, guys.
That's at least what IMDb says. IMDb says there are no mountains in Nantucket, and that was filmed in British Columbia. So,
okay. Well, they would be right.
That's my source. Don't at me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been to Martha's Vineyard for like a day, and we went to the back door bakery and got the most amazing apple fritters, and it was every bit of picturesque.
Listen,
loved
if
it.
You've
okay.
never
what
been,
spending more time there.
Yeah, if you've never been, it's really a special spot. You know, it's very nautical, very whale watchy, great seafood, really special. I would say go for it.
Yes, absolutely. Not sponsored by the
Nantucket.
I'm in Nantucket. So turns out they meet again in her shop, and he buys the wrapped books and asks if his book can be wrapped, his new book. And she turns him down, but says if she has time, she'll read the book. But she already had plotted out which one she was going to include in the book club in the upcoming weeks. He is also the third writer that has asked to have his book wrapped since the interview aired on the radio, and she's not too keen on that. He does tell her his name is Graham. No, he doesn't. Why did I write that?
Yeah, he lies. He's got a pseudonym.
He lies.
Yeah,
he went by a pseudonym. The Dylan, yeah.
The Dylan. And of course, it's a Dylan. That's okay. Yeah.
Okay. Her aunt shows up and is assessing all of the changes, and she's Snooty Snooterson, I thought. And her aunt wants out of being financially a partner in the shop so she can travel while she can. Is the aunt sick? I mean, good grief. Or is she just getting up there in age? She's like, hey.
I think that's more
gotta eat,
the
pray, love.
Yeah, I think she's just ready to sort of cut it loose. Doesn't really feel connected to it anymore, yeah. Which is kind of a bummer.
That is a bummer. She gives Meg 1 to 2 months to figure out if she wants to try to go it alone or sell the shop and go back to real estate, which was her previous career. And I guess she was pretty good at it, but she's gotten accustomed to the small town life in Nantucket. Meg wakes up early and starts reading Graham, no Dylan's book. And Graham talks to his agent, and he has 3 weeks to get another book, number 8 in his series, turned in. And of course, he's written next to nothing. He has writer's block because he's unmotivated creatively. He pops in the shop, and turns out Meg has read the book. These people are the fastest readers I've ever seen in my life. Or maybe I'm just an exceptionally slow reader, but my goodness.
This was not a small book either that he was toting around with him. It looked like it was probably, 200 pages, you know? And apparently she just
a little bit of time
breezed through it in one night. I mean, my goodness. Go on with your bedtime.
Early inside to turn the pages, yeah. So she says, hey, it's good, but it's not for us. It's not going to be featured in the book club. Romance wasn't deep enough. And then he comes clean and tells her his real name. bestie Alice, who also works in the shop, is starstruck and convinces Meg to wrap Dylan's book as long as he doesn't lie again. Like, no, 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 sir. You were bad. Meg then takes Alice to lunch and tells her what's going on. Alice is great with child, is also a writer. She's got a lot going on, and I would be freaked out if I knew that. I might not have a job in 1 to 2 months.
Right? But she's surprisingly chill child about the fact. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, she's like, you do you, girl. You figure it out.
Yeah. Alice could not have been more supportive throughout this entire film. Like, she had...
Alice was precious.
Actually, a great day. She is the sunniest slice of a bit character you've ever seen in one of these.
I really enjoyed her. Yes. Okay, at the first book club, two members already have sparks flying between them. Meg insists it's not a dating club. So this is where I'm confused. Does this keep happen? Has this happened in the past and it got a reputation? Kind of like I used to be in a small group with young adults at a church, and we're saying it's not a dating group, but it was a place where young adults would get together and people would, you know, start dating. And actually, I met my now husband there. You know, is it like that thing? I feel like they didn't elaborate, or there was a cut scene or something about this.
Well, I feel like
this one couple.
I feel like the whole premise was you're sort of blind dating the book. But if you're around other people who are into that concept, stands to reason that a romance between some of those folks might develop, right? Because you both love books and you both love reading and talking about them. I mean, there's some commonality there. Yeah. Sure. So I think that there was just the one romance. I think that this National Public Radio reporter, because of course we had to mention that she was a National Public Radio reporter 8,000 times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think she had caught wind that this is what they do in terms of exposing people to different types of books that are wrapped with a little theme, that sort of thing. So I don't think she was necessarily there on the romance angle of it all, but more the mystery book angle of it all, which...
See, I thought she was really chasing down the romance aspect.
Oh, see... Well, because later in the movie, she's like, oh, you guys met here? And she's suddenly very
She's
intrigued.
Like a hound dog.
Yeah, she's suddenly very intrigued about that piece, which is why I kind of thought she wasn't there for the romance on the front end. But I could look him. I don't know.
It was vague. So they do some floral arrangements, like I mentioned before, in the club. And Graham just had a knockout great time.
Yeah. Are we not going to talk about the fact that Meg liked the book that they're talking about? In fact, she said it was, quote unquote, earned. And I was like, oh, has she been listening to our podcast?
If she starts saying there's rootable characters or oopsie doodle. Yeah.
Now, listen, girl.
Trademark.
Trademark.
Actually, you can take our sayings, but let us be background actors.
Yeah, please. That's all it will take.
We'll sit at the Nantucket shop. Eating our chowder. I don't even like chowder.
In the background.
Oh. Don't you just want, aren't you supposed to mouth watermelon?
Yeah.
Isn't that like
watermelon cantaloupe? Watermelon cantaloupe. Exactly. Yeah. That's all it'll take. I will celebrate every right to every good piece of content we've ever produced on this podcast for the chance to be in the background of one of these things. I mean, just putting it out.
Me in a peacoat way in the back. I just want. just a glimmer. Just come on, Hallmark.
Just like a light dusting with fake
Christmas
snow on our shoulders. That's all we want.
Whatever. I don't know. You can bury me in a snow pit. Just one limb sticking out like a snowplow attacked me. It could be a dark one. I don't care.
Whatever.
Oh, that'd be so awesome.
Anyway.
Sir, if you have any pull in Hallmark.
Please.
This is our audition. You know we can do it. Just watch the YouTube video. Okay, so Graham appreciates Meg's critique so much that he wants to pay her to give her a more thorough critique of his book, which I thought was a little awkward. I guess she did too. She's like, don't pay me. No. She said, well, I accept your money, but he said, well, I can do a book signing before I leave town to drop some business. And she agrees. They flirtily shake hands on their deal. So they're each getting something out of this, in addition to love, probably. Next shot, Meg's in a city discussing real estate with her old boss to try and figure out if she wants to come back and do the corporate thing. There would be more travel and stress, but hey, you'd get paid more because that's how we only portray city life in these movies.
Right.
Miserable, but money.
Right.
Graham bumps into the bestie, Alice, and she's writing her own book, and he encourages her to keep doing what she loves, and it's a very sweet scene. Then we see Meg deciding, you know what? I'm going to wrap Graham's book. And he's in the store stalking, like, who is taking his book home? Who's picking it out? Which I thought was kind of funny. She's like, no loitering. Stop it. Meg reminds Graham that what he does matters to his fans, regardless of the genre. He has a sweet moment with his sister. He calls her, where she praises his previous series of books as well. And then Graham gets on Bobo Uber Eats and the scene cuts, which was random. And then the next morning, Graham has sent his sister breakfast and coffees for her entire family because she's like buried in kids and stressed out. And so that was very sweet, but a little random.
Well, we had to establish that he's a good guy, you know?
Yeah. Which was very sweet. It was a nice gesture.
Yes, yes, yes.
Graham and Meg meet up to go to a charming Nantucket dock, which is her favorite place on the island. They share a heartfelt chat, and then she goes into all of her thoughts on, quote-unquote, Dylan's novel. She praises the Huxley series, his previous series, and brushed up on them. And how fast do these people read? Because she's, I guess, read 7 books, brushed up on them in like 24 hours. And then she gives him 3 pages of notes on the new book. But he takes it well.
Yeah.
They agree to see each other that night for a book club on another book, and there's a dressing for a not date montage from Meg, which we don't always get in the movies, but I thought it was cute. She settled on a puff sleeve white blouse, which was classic and chic. He's disappointed at the book club that night because they're serving wine, but also food, and he was hoping there would only be wine, so he'd have an excuse to take his, quote, only friend on the island to dinner.
I see you, Graham.
I couldn't tell in this moment if she was disappointed because he friend-zoned her or she was delighted at the prospect of dinner.
I think she was delighted. I think
there
was a lot of smoldery eye contact happening at this point, you know, where it was very much a will they, won't they, and of course they will, you know?
Yeah.
It was that.
Always. Yeah. Turns out he got a reservation at the newest best restaurant in town. Acoustic guitar music plays. And they have the best view of the water, I guess. I mean, it looked like they were sitting at a bar. So you were probably at least 10 feet away from the windows, which overlooked the water. And it looked like it was nighttime. But I guess, you know, it's there and whatever.
Whatever.
They eat lobster ice cream? No. Excuse me?
No. No.
No. No.
No, ma'am.
And then he says, well, how do you like it? And she said, I give it a -3. You think? Gross. They talk about their families and how they're comfortable with one another, and he walks her home, which was very sweet. And then he says, I had a great time. Can they do it again? He says, next time, no book talk. They low talk. They get closer to one another, and they kiss. And it's not even the end of the movie.
Not even the end of the movie.
40 minutes left.
Ugh.
Man.
It was a good kiss, too. It was a good kiss too. And then they say goodnight. And then I think we get what I thought was a really cute shot where she walks in and she sort of rounds the corner where he can't see her and she leans back against the wall and we see him through the glass door and they're both sort of just like on the back end of a first kiss that was clearly a good first kiss for either.
I will. Yes. Smitten kittens with one another. I thought it was super cute. Yeah. So Meg is on cloud 9 after the date and gets in her jammies and then her phone dings. It's old depressing Black Cloud Aunt Renee emailing to see if she's made a decision to sell the bookstore or not. Thanks, Aunt Renee, for ruining the moment. Then Graham texts her and this is the exchange. He says, any chance I can get a copy of that photo? She says, you mean the one of me looking super awkward? He says, the one where fate pushed us together. And yes, I realize you're probably rolling your eyes at this cheesy remark, but it had to be said. I loved it. It was so cute.
So cute.
We don't get to see a lot of, like, I don't know. There's flirting in these movies, but not normal flirting. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's usually like flirting while carrying a Christmas tree up 3 flights of stairs or something. Like, this is
real life
flirting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked it for that reason, too.
Super cute. Okay. Then, as if she couldn't get any more notifications on her phone at whatever time at night, she gets a voicemail from Raina, the radio show host, because she wants to sit on tomorrow's book club. Good grief.
Raina
has no boundaries.
Yeah, no boundaries.
I guess.
Yeah. Well, news.
Right. Gotta chase that story. So Meg's nervous about the book club, and Graham comforts her when lame old Aunt Renee drops in to see if she's gonna sell. And they say, let's table it for later, which is a callback to a remark from earlier in the movie, which I thought was kind of funny. Graham's agent calls him while he's working at the gym because I guess he's such a busy guy, and he's panicked that Graham isn't done with the eighth book in his Claim to Fame series. Whoops, time is running out. Raina needs a cold shower is what I wrote because she is at the book club and she's, I think, flirting with Graham and excited that another couple has found love through the book club, and she's all about the love. And Raina wants to record for tonight's book club, and she didn't run that past Meg ahead of time. Meg was like, ugh. She's super afraid because tonight's book club was where they were going to discuss Graham's book, and she's afraid everybody's going to hate it. It's going to hurt his feelings, which is a nice thought, but you know, Graham wasn't worried. He reassures her. He says it's going to be all good. The couple that found love in a hopeless place rips the book to shreds. It's not deep enough. The pacing is off, which is exactly what Meg had said earlier. And then Meg was like, I like to, is it hot in here? Let's take five and get a cookie. Then that annoying couple and Raina notice Graham's face on the back of one of his books, realize it's him, fangirl, because, you know, they're putting the pieces together. Then Raina gets upset because, oh, why are you featuring him? Did he pay you? Like, da-da-da-da-da. And it turns into, like, this really weird, awkward commotion. And Raina's trying to get the scoop. And Meg says she's decided to sell the bookshop because it's time. And that escalated quickly, and I wrote oopsie doodle.
Yeah, this is where it all literally fell apart in the span of what, about 42 seconds.
Really, I mean you blink and you miss it. It was
tailspin.
Yeah. Meg then asks Graham and everyone else to leave, so the book club is over for the night.
We're done.
Okay, where do we go from here? Crotchety old Renee looks at old photo albums of her sister during the grand open at Mimi's, and then she has the nerve to tell Meg how proud her mom would have been for what she's turned the shop into as she bails and takes the money and runs off to travel. Oh, but she also graciously gives Meg this photo album so she can see how great the shop was. Thanks, Aunt Renee. Not a fan, in case you couldn't tell, of Aunt Renee.
I will say, I did think Aunt Renee legitimately looked like she could be this woman's aunt.
Yes.
There was a strong family resemblance. So great casting on finding this woman to play her aunt.
Yes. And she just looked like an aunt. She did.
Very much so.
Anybody's aunt. Okay. So Graham's agent is through the roof on the new book. He, for the series, the original series, he pushes for a new deal to write more Huxley books in the young adult series. And his agent says the other book needs work, but he will help him tweak it to not keep him pigeonholed in one thing. Graham says he has to live the love story first before he can rewrite it. Meg decides to not sell the shop. Graham shows up to confess his love to her, and they banter as music swells and they get their happy ending. Meg says maybe there's something to this blind date book club after all. And that felt like an abrupt ending to the synopsis. It's because it was.
All right, it is time for our gold or coal segment. So let's break it down. Jennifer and I are each going to give three gifts here. If there's more gold in this one, we're going to call it a bestseller. And if there's more coal, we're going to just call it, let's table it for tomorrow. And if it's a tie, it's just a meh, 3-3. Jennifer, what do you got? Go first.
This movie gave me warm fuzzies because it was something straight out of a Nora Ephron flick. Like, it was very much like You've Got Mail, to the point where the lead is named Meg. Is that a nod to Meg Ryan? I mean, I just have to wonder because she had the shop around the corner. Anyways, it was cozy. It was scenic. It was a hug. It wasn't too dramatic. I mean, really, like we said, all of the drama in the whole movie is like 42 seconds long, and then they resolve it. So that could be a pro or a con. For me, it was gold.
Great. Gold for me to start. I liked the leads in this one. I thought it was really well cast. It was believable. He was believable as sort of this corporate author who wanted something more for his career. She was believable as a small town bookseller. And their love was believable to me. It felt earned, dare I say. And there was a fair amount of smolder between the two of them. So good chemistry and gold for me.
You took one of mine. So I will say, I already talked about it a little bit, but I'm going to go back with coal because I just really feel like Meg was worried that this book club had a reputation for being blind dates and getting people together, and she didn't want it to be that, but really we only saw one couple, so I'm confused.
I don't know.
But I guess her and Graham ended up being lovers after it, or a couple, so maybe that's two couples. It didn't seem like enough for her to be worried about it.
Could be.
It was weird.
Gold for me, the scenery. I loved where this was shot. The bookstore felt old-timey. The cottages felt very Nantucket-y, even if it wasn't shot in Nantucket. A lot of the local scenes felt like places I would want to visit. So I love when they actually go through the effort to actually scout a location and put some thought into where they're shooting these scenes. And I could tell that they had done some work in that regard. It wasn't just some soundstage somewhere or some just generic city. So I appreciate the extra effort to really take us to a place.
I will give some gold for Alice, the bestie that works with her at the shop. Like we said, she was just a little ray of sunshine. I really loved her. These side characters, sometimes they don't give them much to do except you go, girl. And there was one moment of that with her, but like she was caring, she was supportive, but she also had her own things going on. She was also an author and kind of working on her book on the side. And like, I wasn't annoyed by her like I sometimes am with the side characters. And I was cheering for her too. And I was glad that Meg didn't sell the bookstore for Meg, but also for Alice. She gets to keep her job. I did think at one point maybe Alice would take over.
Yeah. But
we didn't have to go there.
Yeah, we didn't. And they could have done that, but that would have complicated the ending of this a little bit, you know?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Gold for me to end. I thought the casting of the aunt was really good. I know you didn't necessarily like the dynamic of what was happening with her wanting to kind of punt on this, but I liked that it looked like someone who could be this woman's aunt, number one. And number two, I didn't necessarily take it to that sort of big, bad, I got to get out of here thing that you did. It just sort of felt to me like she was ready to move on, right? She was never there. She had money tied up in it. She was probably retired, wanted to do other things. So I could see that for her. So I bought it and I thought it was believable. And I thought it was actually a good kind of conflict to be happening that wasn't, as you said, too dramatic or too serious, but there was some sort of risk involved, like major change potentially coming for this character and what was she going to do. So I liked it. I bought it. I thought it was a pretty good plot point. So bottom line, final score, 5 gold, 1 coal. We're going to call it a bestseller. I was pleasantly surprised. I read the plot synopsis, Jennifer. I was thinking, oh, okay, this is going to be kind of middle of the road for me. But I actually really enjoyed this one.
I thought it was really well done, and they didn't rely on the big oopsie doodle drama to make it interesting. This movie got a lot of hate on these Hallmark movie Facebook pages that I'm a part of. I mean, I kind of scoped it out, and a lot of people just thought it was boring, dull. I didn't think it was boring. I thought it was not some like jump at you plot to hang on to, but I thought it was really sweet and consistent, and it worked for me.
Yeah, now, I like
think
how
it's a little different
it.
Than most Hallmark movies are. Like, it's not the queer spike here. It was kind of more in line and then a little bump.
Yeah.
If it was an EKG.
I agree. And I think you were spot on to call it a warm hug. At the end of it, you just kind of felt good. And I think that is its value. I mean, it's not the most dramatic. It's not the most thrilling, but it is just very steady, very warm, and a nice watch. And that, friends, is another episode of Do You Watch What I Watch?
Special thanks, as always, to our friend Nick Schwartz for our theme song and to you for listening or watching.
Hey, if you like our podcast, thank you so much for taking the time to listen and watch. Won't you connect with our community here? You can subscribe on our YouTube channel. That way you get first notification of brand new episodes. Also, go ahead and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts, be it Spotify, Apple, we're everywhere. You can also connect with us on our social media channels. Find links to everything we've got out there on our website at doyouwatchwhatiwatch.com. Be sure to stay tuned to our socials. As I mentioned at the top, we are working on a plan to get us through the summer that we think is going to be a whole lot of fun, and we will be sharing those details with you on our social media channels. We are going to have a whole lot of fun this summer watching, recapping, reviewing, laughing about all kinds of great Christmas movies. But until then,
may your days be merry and bright, and we'll see you next time.